Hello and welcome to the Negative Positives Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Gutterman, coming to you from the Gutterman Cave on a Sunday night. And what does that mean? Well, it's Sunday night and everyone's favorite co-captain of the USS Negative Positives, Mr. Andre Dominguez, is on the line with me. How are you tonight, Andre?
I am so good, Mike. But there's a little bit something special about this recording, isn't it? We're not only, you know, just talking on the phone to each other, are we?
No, we are not. We have taken Mr. Graham's advice from the Sunny 16 podcast, and we've gotten a hold of his banana. It's the voice meter banana software that he recommended we try to record with. And Graham's banana is working out quite nice tonight. I think we've got it figured out. Hopefully you'll notice an exponential rise in the quality of this podcast.
Yeah, and it only took us about, you know, a 20-minute tutorial video to figure out how his banana worked, so...
Well, excuse me, but yeah, Graham's banana was a little complicated, but you know, I was able to push the right buttons and get his banana recommendation to my taste. But so anyway,
yes, for the folks who are listening at home, essentially what we're doing to kind of, you know, settle the innuendo and give you sort of useful information. We're using a program in which Mike and I are talking on a Skype call, recording that audio. We actually do have video as well. Mike and I can see each other when Skype decides not to be a jerk and not freeze my video. But what this will hopefully, you know, allow us to do is to record these in advance, bring on international visitors over from places like the UK. I know that our beloved Mr. Graham is going to be joining us as a judge for the Negative Positives Multiple Exposure Extravaganza contest. And yeah, hopefully just improves the workflow on our end. We are going to be uploading the actual audio file to Anchor. So for those of you that do listen to the podcast on Anchor, nothing will change for you. It'll just be hopefully much less dropouts in terms of the audio. We'll hope that the Anchor Gremlins have less of a hold on us. For you international visitors that have been wanting to be on the podcast, you know, yes, there are some workarounds. You know, Andrew Bartram and Corey Cannon over at the Lensless Podcast have sort of figured that out, but they still deal with Anchor Gremlins in the recording as well. So hopefully this will just make things better on all fronts. I figured out a way to kind of, you know, screenshot the Skype call so that we can make thumbnails. Hopefully it'll just make all the good things about the Negative Positives podcast even better.
Well, yeah, and hopefully it's going to sound a little better and we're going to be a little more polished and professional sounding, because if that's one thing that we've strived for on this podcast, as you can see, is just professionalism all the way around. And, you know, I feel like that's that's where we're trying to go with it. And also, you know, especially with the, we're still going to be on Anchor, and I've had some call-ins on the Anchor app. I think they're now called voice recordings, and I really appreciate those. I have another one from Andrew Bartram I'm going to get to next time I do a solo episode. And but yeah, keep those coming in, guys. It's one of the cool things about the Anchor app is it's a free app, and you can actually contact the show. You get a minute to talk, like a recording, and I can play it on the show, and you can make any comment you want. You don't have to ask a question. You can just say, Mike, you're a dumbass, and Andre knows what he's talking about, and I probably just won't play that one. But other than that, there's plenty of you can just make a comment or correct us on something.
See, this is why, you know, we should share the login info for the Anchor app, because, like, I want to see these if people are sending these in. But no, so I know that that Andrew has expressed in the past reluctance about sending in multiple. Don't feel bad, mate. You know, keep on doing that, because me sending in multiple call-ins was how I got my place on the show. So also, another sort of PSA to the folks out there listening. Even if you don't listen to the podcast on Anchor, if you listen to, our podcast and all the other podcasts through another podcasting app, still go ahead and download it and send us in Collins, because you've heard Mike and I, waffle on about it, on and for multiple episodes, but we love the Collins. It's something that's uniquely special about the Anchor app. It's honestly, and I'm sure you'll agree with me, Mike, it's kind of the best thing about the Anchor app,
Oh, I
because
agree.
anybody can read an email, and we can sort of drunkenly stumble through the emails that you write us, and dig around for your social media tags. But what if you tell them to us yourself, and we get to hear your voice? And it's a lovely little way to sort of interact with the audience. We'll still, probably be reading listener emails for a while, but if more of you can start sending in these Collins, that'd be awesome. And if you have a voice made for radio, for podcasting, and you haven't already expressed an interest in joining us as a guest, hell, if you've got the voice, we'll invite you on anyway, being like, hey, we don't care if you're shy, we need your voice on the podcast.
That's right. And speaking of voices, one of our former guests, Mr. Mike Williams, 12 months, 12 cameras. I reached out to him now that we're trying to be more professional. I have reached out to him to actually make an open for the show where he introduces the show. So, see, one of our illustrious listeners gets to make an open for this wonderful podcast, and I can't wait to see what he comes up with. And Mike Williams, you've been officially called out. You're on notice. You are making the open for this show, so I can't wait to hear what you come up with.
Yeah, if the opener that he made for the 100th episode is any indication, we're all in for a treat, because that, like, to this day, sometimes, like, I'll go in if I'm not having, like, a very good day, if I need a little pick-me-up and Mike's at work, I will go back to the 100th episode and just play it for that beginning opening, and it always puts a smile on my face. So, Mike, thank you so much for that. It's a special little treat for when I'm down.
Yeah, it always gets a laugh out of me. But I remember when you were in the garage, when you're in the gutter man cave here, when you're here in Louisville, when we were trying to record that episode, we had to listen to that about four or five times before we even did the episode and laugh at it, because it was such of an enjoyable experience. But
And
so it's
also, by the 100th episode, we were pretty well into it, so it definitely took us, a moment to compose ourselves.
I'm not sure that we composed ourselves for that entire episode, to
Well,
be honest with
yeah, figure speech.
you. So, Andre, let's talk about our weeks. Your week was a little more positive and a little better than mine, but I'll still talk about my failures this week. But let's start off with the positive. Let's tell the folks what you've been up to. You're a graduated man in some capacity, I guess. So let's talk about your week.
Absolutely. So yes, as Mike was alluding to, and as he mentioned on the podcast last time, I was unable to record last week because I was at graduation. Two long and very very hard. Oh, thank you, Mike. Two very long and kind of drawn out ceremonies that ultimately were more for my family than they were for me, because I still have another semester. So it's hard to celebrate too much when it's got four or five classes to take still, but it was great to see everybody in my class and celebrate with them. I, for some reason, I mean, you guys listen to me on this podcast. For some reason, the business school thought it wise to give me an award for management communication. What they would think of this podcast, God knows what. But so that was pretty fun. But yeah, it was just good to sort of spend some time with my family. We did a little kind of mini 2-day road trip from North Carolina down here to Miami. And that was fun. I did take some pictures at graduation with my Olympus XA. Sadly, there's no places here in Miami to affordably get film developed. Two places have since opened up commercial film developing since I was here recovering from my surgery a year and a half ago. But they're like just develop only, they're like $9 a roll.
Nice.
And when you're used to just doing it on your own for pennies, I'm not gonna pay for that. I'll wait till I'm at Cinestill and have access to their dark room. So for now, I'm sitting on some images that hopefully will be, pretty special. But I wanted something, compact, easy to use. So once again, the trusty Olympus XA that has seen me through many, many times in my life, recovery from heart surgery, graduation, hopefully, many, many more. Hopefully did its job, and it was fun to pull out. You guys saw the little selfie that I took in my Carolina blue cap and
Ah,
gown.
yuck.
But yeah, no, had a great time. Since getting back here to Miami, it's been a little bit disappointing on the photography front because the weather has just not let up. It's pretty much been raining all day, every day for like 5 days in a row. The only time that I really got out to shoot was a couple of days ago when we had like maybe 2 hours of what is, loosely could be determined to be sunshine, where I went out to Ocean Drive in South Beach and took some photos of the old like Art Deco buildings and hotels there with some of the CineStill 50D that they sent me. So hopefully those turn out. Once again, can't see them until I'm at CineStill, but that'll be kind of fitting. I'd like to have the first film that I develop over there in California to be some CineStill that I shot. And since I haven't been really doing much but trying to get out whenever the rain stops, I have managed to, play around with my new SX70 that I picked up over in North Carolina right before graduation.
For $50.
For $50 at the PTA thrift store.
Incredible deal.
Yeah, I'm super, super excited about it. And it works. Like, just the fact that it works is already awesome. I am having to sort of learn the behavior of the meter and the behavior of this current batch of Polaroid Originals film, but so far it's been pleasantly surprising. I mean, everything seems to be working well, just with the exposure wheel just sit right smack dab in the middle. Just kind of don't touch that. And also, I've been playing it smart. I've been putting the camera in, situations where I know that it's not gonna have a hard time. Sun over my shoulder, pointed directly at the thing with no backlighting whatsoever. Just giving this film plenty of light, if I can, if weather permits. And so far, it's been doing great. I did a little sort of mini series today with like five or six shots of some bikes around my area, which were pretty cool. And then I spent most of this afternoon, about 2 hours actually, while I was just browsing through Spotify, Pandora, and YouTube, trying to discover some new music, ripping off the leather and using some like rubbing alcohol and acetone to get all this old crusty adhesive off of the faces of the camera, so I can reskin it with some nice new black leather from Polaskins.
Nice. So,
Mike, do you want to check your notes? Is that all of my update?
well, no, there is more to talk about in your time, and I got to get this out there in my mammy.
I'm so
Andre.
sorry, folks. I apologize.
What? You're in my mammy, right? But anyway, so you talked about. Some family negatives you might be coming into contact with.
That is true. Good puns. My beloved family, all of whom, except for my mom, dad, and sister, are located in sunny, sunny Brazil, are coming down to visit in mid-June. Sadly, I will not be here. I will be off in sunny California. But they are coming down to visit my folks, and I put out, I think it was a long time ago, it must have been like at least 6 months ago, a message on our family WhatsApp group saying, I am in search of old negatives to scan. I want to do kind of a personal project. If everybody could just, look for them. It doesn't have to be right now, but just if you have some time, go through your stuff, see if you can find old negatives. Because I wanna do something with them. And today, after about 6 months and pretty close to when they're actually coming out to visit. My grandma messaged the family group saying that she found a shoebox full of old negatives and was just kind of looking through them, and she says, "I think I can see some of like little kids. I don't know if it's you guys, you know, being the grandkids or you know, her children, my dad, my aunts and uncles." So I'm very much looking forward to getting those and scanning them up quickly and efficiently on the PacOn when I get back to North Carolina. But you know, we've got one more semester left that ends in December, and hopefully a trip to Brazil, which will be the first, you know, trip back to Brazil in a couple of years. And my plan is to get there with you know, some special handmade photography gifts for Christmas, be that some darkroom prints or you know, some family photo albums that I've personally scanned and curated and printed. So I'm very, very much looking forward to that.
Awesome. Yeah, there's nothing like family photo albums, man. Like, I know you're doing the negatives. You think you'll do an actual photo album for any of them, or do you think they already have these in photo albums, or are you just trying to get them the digital files of the negatives?
So, I mean, my family has always been big into photo albums. They have a lot of them, especially my grandma. She's got stacks and stacks of photo albums. So, to what degree, you know, those negatives that she found correspond to those prints, I have no idea. It may just be a bunch of negatives of you know, 4x6 prints that she already has. It may be stuff that, you know, they haven't seen in decades,
Yeah.
that they lost the prints to. Either way, I would like to just give them a you know, a digital version of those. But also for my own sake, like, you know, I kind of want to be sort of the keeper of those negatives for my family, because I know at some point, like, you know, not everybody's super careful, not everybody sees the value of them. My worry is that in some way, some form, they'd either get damaged or lost or accidentally or purposefully thrown away. So, because I'm the only person in my family with an interest in this stuff, I want to be sort of the keeper of all this information. It's a lot of responsibility to take onto these young shoulders, ladies and gentlemen, but I'm willing to take the burden. And also, like, you know, in terms of like logistics wise, it's a lot easier for them to bring in their suitcase like some negatives than like I'm not gonna pull up my Gutterman at least right now and scan the like tons of photo books that are like sitting in like two bookcases in my grandma's house in Brazil. Like they can't bring those with them. It'd just be too big and too much weight. So maybe one day, I'll get around to doing that, but at least for now, I'm so happy to just start with the negatives.
That's awesome. Yeah, it's something that I've made a point of doing a lot in the last year, and I know I've talked about it on this podcast a ton about, you know, trying to preserve in every way, shape, and form all of our family memories, even back to my wife's childhood and my childhood, and because no one in our families, other than me, has even thought about this stuff. I remember I was at a family gathering one time, and they were like, you know, most of them are all shooting digital now. They haven't shot film in years. And I was telling them about my archiving process, and they were like, well, you know, I just keep my stuff on hard drives. It's fine. And then I started telling them about how hard drives fail, how there's really no digital media that is permanent, and unlike negatives, technically, but like, even, and so one of the people, I think my uncle, said, well, you know, I've got CDs and DVDs made of my photos. You know, I back them up all on that. And I'm like, well, CD and DVD drives are kind of going away. And even those have dyes in them that fade over a period of about a decade, 20 years, depending on what type of media it is. So even those aren't permanent, even though they've been sold as a permanent media for a long time, like a permanent media solution, and that's not the case whatsoever. And they were all like shocked and scared by it and thought, oh man, maybe I should do some other, think about this in a different way. And But I'm like the only one that really seems to be that concerned about these type of things. And so it's good that you're doing it, Audrey, because I think most people don't. Most people aren't as nerdy about this stuff as we are. And it's, I don't think there's anything more important than trying to preserve memories. So
Absolutely. And I mean, like, so I encourage everybody out there, if you're in a similar position to Mike and I, if you're the only person in your family that has even thought about any of this stuff, you know, be your family's historian. Yes, it's probably going to be a lot of work. I'm already sort of struggling under the weight of my own, you know, lack of organization, of my own negatives from the past 4 years in college. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's worth it, because if not you, then who else? You know, nobody else is going to do it.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Well, Andre, I think, well, actually, let me tell you about my week real quick, and then we'll wrap up this, we'll take this break, and actually, at the end of this break, I want to hear that Polaroid SX70 fire up. That's how we'll end the, that's how we'll end this segment, so make sure that thing's ready. I want to hear that bad boy.
It is ready.
Okay. Well, as far as my week, I talked in the, I think the midweek episode. I get these things confused because, you know, you guys force me to do so many a week. I have a hard time remembering what I've talked about and what I haven't, but you know, I had talked about, I went out with my Pentax 645 in for the first time with the one of the two Rose that Mr. Andre Dominguez gave me for my birthday. Thank you, Andre. And
you're welcome, Mike.
I loaded that up in a kind of a dark situation, and also probably didn't necessarily get it on the start line on that. You know, when you load that camera, you have to get it lined up with the start line on the insert, the film insert. Not sure I did that because it was pretty dark, and I just was also had a brain fart, I guess, and just didn't think about it. And then like halfway through the row, my batteries died because I had like rechargeable AA's in it, and apparently they weren't as charged as I thought they were. So somewhere in between me goofing and the batteries goofing, when the film rewound, it sounded like a duck dying or something. And I had a feeling there was something not quite right. And when I opened up the insert, the film was not rewound and got exposed. So that was a loss. So, you know, no big deal. I got another row. Andre sent me two rows. So because the next night.
See, guys, don't send Mike gifts. He just wastes it all. John Gregory, stop giving him stuff. I'm sorry, you know, continue.
So, well, I'm getting ready to back up your statement with my second night out.
Oh, I know, that's why I said it.
So the second night I grab the second roll of CineSteel 800T in medium format. Gonna go out there and take those same shots. I'm gonna do it right this time. So I loaded up, got it to the start line. It's all ready to go, and I took the same shots. Hey, but I did them better this time. And I was confident. I was cocky. I was proud. And then so Friday came around. I'm gonna develop this film. It's gonna be awesome, and everyone's just gonna be so impressed with my photography prowess when they see these shots. And so I develop it, you know, and everything's going good, and pull it out of the developing tank, and it's clear. There's nothing on there. And apparently what I did was I loaded it incorrectly again, but I got the start line lined up properly. But I was supposed to have the paper the other way around, and I was basically exposing onto the backing paper and not the film. So.
And how light sensitive is the backing paper, Mike?
Apparently, it's like ISO negative 200, and so yeah, there was nothing quite there, and so I have loaded a roll of Portra 400 because I've done blown through the 800T that Andre sent me. And tomorrow night, either before or after band practice, I'm going to take those same shots again. And this time it's going to work. I'm telling you, I've got it down. It's gonna be fine.
They do say third time's the charm, right?
That's right. See, I'm just trying to. I know people look at me as like an all wise, knowing film photographer, and they look up. But I just want to say, even someone of my, like, you know, excellent photographic abilities just makes a mistake. I want the little people to know that you know that it's fine to make mistakes. You know.
See, folks, when you've had a little bit of a break from the podcast, and you come back, it's just hitting really hard. I wasn't prepared for this.
Well, before I get any more cocky, we should probably take a break here. And Andre, before we take that break, let's hear that beautiful SX-70.
My beautiful naked T-1000 looking all chrome SX-70. And I love that sound.
It's
so
beautiful.
Much.
Beautiful. All right, folks, we're going to take a little break and we will be right back to talk some more film nerdy stuff. All right, folks, we are back from our little break with this new recording software. We're trying to really be careful and not hit the wrong button and erase everything we've done. So I think we got it figured out, and we'll see if we manage to screw this up. But Andre, you, on your week in review, you forgot to mention something about a little red dot.
That is indeed true. I made my, you know, every time I come to visit my parents here in Miami, I make my usual pilgrimage over to the Leica store.
Did you say my mammy?
I make my pilgrimage over to the Leica store in Miami, just to kind of, you know, look at the stuff that I can't buy. you know, browse through the catalogs. They do have a really nice exhibition that's up there right now of a photographer whose name is escaping me. But I specifically went in there because I had purchased online a thumbs up grip, one of those, you know, metal thumb grip things for my cameras. Not that I particularly needed more kind of grippiness on my M6, especially that has an aftermarket hand grip. But what that specific thumbs up grip has is an extra shoe. So it slides into the hot shoe and gives you, obviously, a shoe right where that shoe was, just right above it, but then also one kind of a little bit to the left as well. And then what that lets me do is to have on the external viewfinder of my Voigtlander 25mm lens, as well as the GoPro that I have sort of jerry-rigged a hot shoe mount on, so that I can slide that into the accessory shoe of really any of my cameras. And what I'm trying to get around with all of this is that I purchased a more expensive than I wanted it to be accessory for my film cameras in order to help me with doing, you know, more POV videos in the not too distant future. So definitely look forward to those. I will, of course, you know, post the links over to them on the Facebook group, just as our dear friend George has been doing, loving his videos so far. Sorry that I don't comment on all the times that you post them, George, but really doing great work. And, you know, He's got me wanting to make videos again. So good on you, bud, 'cause you're doing some positive peer pressure here.
Yeah, he's actually kind of made me want to at least got my wheels spinning about the idea of doing some kind of behind the scenes videos. I haven't really gotten into the YouTube thing as I mean I love watching YouTube videos, but as far as producing videos for YouTube, I've never done it. I've been kind of feeling my I don't know, desire to do that with just posting stupid phone videos up of me in the Gutter Man Cave on the Facebook group and
Which I'm sure I speak on behalf of everybody in saying that we love them.
Well, they're pretty goofy. They're usually about 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, and I'm trying to get. Usually, I'm just taking a break from the drudgery of getting all these great things done in this garage, and also drinking a lot of beer probably. But usually it's just a little break, and I was like, oh, I'm gonna put a video up, and it's been kind of fun to do. And I encourage people on the Facebook group. I would love to see videos of like your film refrigerators. You developing film, your dark rooms, all that stuff. I really like getting an inside peek to kind of the way your all's processes and a little bit of your life. And it's I don't just call me a creeper in that way. I just like to I like to see a little bit about what you guys do. And that's kind of one of the reasons I've been putting up videos. I kind of want to encourage that. I'd like to see a little more video stuff on the Facebook group. I always thoroughly enjoy them.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And you don't have to be, like George and have, like proper production and camera setup and like good audio. You can be like Mike, just film something on your phone and just, don't even like upload it to YouTube, just post it on the Facebook group. Just a little sort of, peek into your life, which a lot of you already do with the photos that you post on the Facebook group. I mean, that's honestly my favorite thing, more so even than people's images, is just the little things of like a peek into the lives of our viewers. Whether it's posts that piss me off a little bit, like Danny Roberts, taking pictures of his thrift store hauls, or Mike's late night videos of him, cutting crappy poster board for mats at his CD art fair. Like it's wonderful. It's just little peeks into your lives, and I want to start doing that more. There may be some kind of higher production value stuff that I'll put on YouTube, but I am gonna try. If I'm just out sort of shooting something, it takes me nothing to pull my phone out and just say what I'm shooting and, put the camera up to my face and make some like ridiculous clicking noises so that you guys can laugh at that. So, I'm committed to doing that in the future, and I hope you guys do too, 'cause I think it'd be really fun.
So at this point, I think I have to. I've got two decisions to make. Like, if I should I have Andre on here every week, or let him take time off like he did last week? Because he seems to be coming with some zingers at me this week. That he seems a little more like he's attacking me a little more on this podcast. So I'm either gonna have to just not have him on, or just make him here every week so he's not so razor precise with his cutdowns of me. But.
Well, I think I know what it is. I think it's I've been like catching up on some Sunny 16 that I've been behind on, and just Graham's rubbing off on me. I don't have the exact, sharp English wit, just yet, but maybe another 100 episodes and I'll be good.
I don't know if I'm looking forward to that, but that's we'll see. But so Andre, we wanted to talk a little bit about the meat of this episode is supposed to be about the organization and how both of us
Or lack thereof.
well, that how both of us are surprisingly completely unorganized with the way we store and save and try to file our immense photography efforts. So, Andre, do you want to jump into it first?
I've been going, so the exasperation in my voice is, with all of this rain and not being able to go out and shoot, I thought it would be a wonderful opportunity to to finally kind of take some time to organize my files. I don't have any of my negatives with me here in Miami, obviously, but just in terms of the scans, I honestly just kind of gave up on it. I've got, you know, scans. I've only been shooting film for 4 years now. I started my freshman year, and I'm at the end of my senior year with just that one little extra orphan semester left. So I've been shooting film for 4 years, and the way that I've been shooting and kind of organizing things has definitely changed several times. At the very beginning, as I mentioned before, all of my stuff was developed and scanned at Southeastern Camera in Carrboro. And so it was a lot of like those little sort of envelopes with the strips of like four or five and the little plastic, like the cheap little sleeves, and then a CD with like low resolution scans, because that's all I could afford. And so that was like it for, I mean, probably 2 years. And then there was a period where I was developing myself and putting them in the print files and then scanning with the V600. And then I got the Pacon and started scanning with that. So you combine that with the fact that, you know, I've got two laptops that I regularly use and then like three external hard drives. There's just multiple copies of multiple things with multiple scanners and multiple resolutions in multiple places with multiple names. It's just a complete shit show. And so because I am going to be embarking on this task of scanning my family's negatives, that definitely, in order for kind of my project to work well for that, has to be super organized. So, and because I'm already going to be just chucking tons of film through the pack on, I'm almost tempted to just sort of start from scratch, you know, just delete everything. Cause I have all the negatives. I've never misplaced or lost any of the negatives. Granted, those negatives aren't organized. They're in just a big pile of print files. But if I can just go through from scratch and scan everything, come up with a file folder system that makes sense, divide them by year and then month and then camera or film type, I'm not exactly sure how I'm going to do it, but that's kind of the point that I'm at right now. I'm paying for the sins of my own disorganization over the past 4 years in probably having to start from scratch. But hopefully by doing that, I'll have learned my damn lesson and just be better at it from now on. And I really, 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 really couldn't do this. Well, I mean, I could just take a lot longer without the pack on. So this is why I'm kind of more inclined to start from scratch, because I know that, yeah, it'll kind of be a pain, but at least it won't be doing all of the 35 millimeter in a flatbed. So
yeah, that would be a nightmare. What I've kind of done, see, your sins aren't nearly as bad as mine, because I've been shooting film for quite a few more years than you have, and I never really had a system. And so there's no way I can go and like really get a system in place now without just spending years trying to organize 20 years of film photography or whatever. So I just kind of had to give up that ideal of like actually trying to organize all that stuff. The one thing I did do is I separated family photos and family memories from like my artsy fartsy photos or whatever. I separated those two. The family negatives I throw in a fire safe, which may or may not save the negatives in a fire. It all depends on how hot your house burns down at, but at least they're kind of in a temperature controlled, humidity controlled environment, and definitely in the dark. But so all my family stuff, the stuff I would really hate to lose, is in fire safes. My art photos, artsy fartsy stuff, I hate saying art photos. It sounds so pretentious, but the that I just put those in these in the print file sleeves, and then in those print file like the plastic binders that snap shut, and all those from the previous I don't know 15 to 18 years of photography are just lumped in there, and with no particular order. But in the last year, new stuff has been in order, in the order I took it, so it's at least it's organized now, I guess. And then of course on the top of the print sleeve I write the film, the camera I took it with, when it was taken, and maybe a little bit where it was taken. And I also will put like if I push the film or just little things like that. But I try to actually, I used to never write information at the top of the print files, and now I'm starting to do that, so I'm starting to get slightly more organized from a negative standpoint. But computer wise, as far as digital files, I've been horrible about that. I've tried tons of different systems, and none of them really make much sense now. But so what I've been doing this year is I made a folder for this year, and then I just list, I make folders for the camera and the film type, and then I just throw like whatever, you know, photos were taken on that camera with a certain film emulsion or whatever, and I've just been kind of separating the files that way. And then I guess when this year is over, I'll start a new folder for next year. One thing I do, I said do again. Anyway, I got to stop saying that. But one thing I also do is with hard drives, Andre, I don't know what you do with your hard drive situation, but I always work with three hard drives. I have my working hard drive that gets used all the time, and then external hard drive. And then I have a second one that's a backup of that that I keep here on site that I regularly back up to. And then I keep a third one in another location, which I keep my third hard drive at my practice space downtown, so that if my house was to burn down and those fire safes don't save my negatives, I still got something off site. So that's kind of how I do hard drives. Do you do anything similar like that with as far as external hard drives?
I don't know what I do, Mike. There's a bunch of crap on three of them, and I don't use them frequently. There's stuff on my, like, so when I scan, you know, especially if I'm scanning 35 in the PacOn, like, that is hooked up to this, like, old Windows XP laptop, and that, like, can't even connect to the internet.
Yeah.
And so I use a little, like, USB thumb drive to drag stuff from the Windows XP laptop to my normal laptop, which is where, you know, I throw it in a file somewhere, in a folder somewhere, and then post it to the Facebook group. So I really can't, like, express how much of a lack of organization there is.
Yeah, you know, but I bet you that a majority of us are like that. It's such a pain to stay organized with it, and it's like the least fun part of film photography. So, like,
well,
I'm
I mean,
sure
it's
we're
the
not
least
alone.
fun part of all photography. And like, if you imagine SoCave, like we've been kind of complaining about this for a few minutes now, but let's keep in mind that the number of photos that we take, for most people, you know, especially if you know, you're somebody like Mike and you struggle to get through roles sometimes.
Oh, there we go.
Or, I mean, okay, honestly, I can't even speak right now, because, like, for the past, like, week and a half, I've been struggling to even take photos because it's just been raining all day. For most film photographers, we don't shoot nearly as many photos as digital.
Yeah, that's true.
So If we're already having, like, if most people already have this problem and that shoot film and scan their film, imagine when those number of images is multiplied by, like, 10 or 20. So I will complain about all this stuff and, you know, get on myself for being super disorganized about all this, you know, all day. But thank goodness that I'm not shooting digital anymore, because the problem would just be 10 times worse.
Yeah, you are right. Because during my digital dark ages, it's amazing how many photos that I took back then. And I was never really the you know, prey and spray kind of digital shooter. In my couple years, I was just shooting digital. I actually kind of did do it a lot like film. I didn't go out and come home, you know, for a day of shooting and come home with like 1,000 photos. That never happened. And I never really got into like shooting a ton for some reason. Maybe I was just so used to shooting film that I just never got into that habit. But even then, I look back at some of those folders of like digital files and I'm like, why am I keeping some of this stuff? Like, I mean, I need to go through here and like really delete some stuff because some of it is just crap, you know? And like, but that's, again, that's another project that's going to spend, it's going to take time to do and it's more organization and it's just not fun. So yeah, it's just kind of another thing puts me on the struggle bus, but yeah.
So one thing that I think we can kind of connect this to the listeners a bit and get some interaction is Mike and I encourage you to do one of two things or even, you know, both, depending on how kind of hard it is to sort of explain or show. Do let us know how you organize your things. If you want to leave a call-in to do that, go ahead. You know, I'm going to lean full into that strategy. But, like, for something like this that is a little bit more technical, or if showing a screenshot or a picture of your sort of file structure on your computer works, or show us what you write at the top of your print file sleeves, share with us in some form how you organize your images. I definitely have a lot to learn, and I know that I've asked this like in our Facebook group at one point and in multiple other groups, and I've got a folder of pictures saved of literally that says people's organizational systems that I've never implemented. How ironic is that? But do let us know how you do it to hopefully, you know, convert me at some point.
Yeah, because we have been absolutely no help as far as helping people organize things. We're actually asking for help on this one. But
well, hopefully, you know, we're not coming at this topic especially, and in most things on this podcast, from a prescriptive point of view. We need as much help from you guys as you may think you need from us.
Well, I hope people don't think they need any help from us, because I don't know how much we can provide.
Well, whatever help and perspective we're able to bring, know that, you know, you guys do twice as much for us.
Absolutely. So I guess we should wrap this one up, Andre. I think this recording's worked right. Now I got to figure out how to like get my audio editing skills in place and see if this actually loads up to Anchor properly. If you don't hear this episode till like Wednesday, that means I am a complete maroon as far as like audio editing. But I'm hopefully it'll be fine, and I think we're gonna be doing this more in the future. I think I'm. It seems like this thing is working. So I think we might be taking baby steps to professionalism, folks. So we'll see what happens there. Also, one last thing I want to get to is tomorrow night at band practice, I am picking up the Negative Positives podcast stickers that my sticker man has left for me up there. His band practices in the same room that we do. So he's leaving them up there for me. So I'm going to have the stickers in my hand tomorrow night. And if you want a sticker, just send me a self-addressed stamped envelope in the mail, and I will send some stickers out to you. And I'll just stick to my plan of the stickers. And Andre, you gonna get some stickers and stick to the plan?
I am. I was mentioning to somebody at some point this week, actually. I peeled off the Fujifilm sticker from my laptop very, very kind of, you know, happily to make some room for my negative positive sticker.
Nice. Oh, we should mention
that. And also, in the envelope that I send back to Mike, I hope to be sending some 800T and seeing if he doesn't screw that up again.
You know, let's not. You know, there's no reason to rehash old history. Like, hey, let's just, you know, forget about that. It was just a, you know. But we should mention that you mentioned Fuji. One last little news item we didn't talk about. Apparently, the Walmart clearance was not a signal of the end of Superior in Walmart stores. They've just repackaged it, and now it's going to be just sold in 36 exposure rows instead of 24 exposures that the Walmarts were carrying here in the United States. So I don't know exactly what that means as far as the future of that film, or if it's still maybe a kind of a, I don't know, not a positive, but apparently Fuji is back in stock and new packaging in 36 exposure rows in your
Can
local
I propose
Walmart.
A conspiracy theory?
Please propose it.
The new packaging is very minimalist.
It is.
And, you know, maybe Fuji's doing so badly that they can't afford that much bright, colorful ink on the packaging. And so they're cutting costs by
that
by
green,
coming up with really plain packaging in order to save their pennies.
That could be it. That could be it. But I just wanted to get that out there because I know we had an episode where we talked about that. And so, you know, it's not gone away. I was actually hoping that they was going away, at least in Walmarts, and Walmart would be forced to carry Kodak Gold because I could use a local place to buy my cheap Kodak Gold film for when I want to try that film out. But not so much. But, you know, for you Fuji fans out there, you're going to still have it at Walmart. You just got to shoot 36 exposures instead of 24. So just getting that last little thing out there because Andre's anger at his Fuji sticker just kind of reminded me of it. But all right, Andre, let's wrap this one up, man. Let's go ahead and tell people where to check out your work.
People can check me out on Instagram at AndreOnFilm, as well as on the Negative Positives Film Photography Podcast Facebook group.
Nice. You can see my work on Instagram at GuttermanPhoto, on Facebook at Mike Gutterman Photography. You can email this program at GuttermanPhoto@gmail.com. And please join the Facebook group, the Negative Positives Film Photography Podcast Facebook group. And I will say this, if my editing skills, my audio editing skills come in handy, we probably going to maybe put some outtakes at the end of these shows because there's some bumbling going on. So we'll, if I can figure that out and if I'm good at this, we'll might want to stick around for a little outtakes at the end of this. But all right, let's wrap up this episode. Everybody stay positive.
And shoot some cool film photos.
And we will see you soon. Thank you very much. We're probably going to have a whole show of outtakes we can get out of all this stuff. That's what I'm sort of thinking.
Oh, we should do that. We should do like a mini episode of just like of bloopers.
Right. Okay, let's get this going. Wow, I don't even know. It's so weird to start it because I'm usually waiting for like Andre to join and then I just jump in. So like, I guess I don't know. Do I do the countdown like Graham does? I don't know, but.
Oh, does he count down?
Yeah, he's just like, and 3, 2, 1. Hello, folks. It's the...
All right. Were you recording that? I hope you were.
That was being recorded.
Good. Because the world needs to... Graham needs to hear how shit of an English accent you just attempted. Because that was just... My ears are hurting thousands of miles away. And I'm sure that that pain will carry on over the pond as well.
All right, let's get this party started. Here we go. All right.
And now I kind of understand those people that like say that like, oh, Americans shouldn't, marry into the royal family. This is the perfect example.
Oh,
All
come on,
right.
man.
Now I'm good.
I thought my English accent was bloody good, huh? Or jolly? Jolly mate? I don't, do they say
I don't
that?
think that's a thing.
Don't know. Okay. All right. Here we go. Here we go. Let's get this started. How do I use to start this thing? Okay, hello. All right. Here we go.
Always a good start.
Hello. Okay, here we go.